Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is Lawrence Tynes, former New York Giant, two-time Super Bowl champ, and you're listening to The Jake Brown Show.
And welcome to The Jake Brown Show on Radio.com's podcast network. You can subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. You can follow us on Spotify. Follow me on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio and Instagram, and on our other Twitter at Jake Brown Show on Twitter and Instagram. I actually did a massive unfollowing spree on Instagram the last couple days. Just people I don't care about anymore. I don't want to follow them anymore, and I just unfollowed. Worst case, they unfollowed me. Plus, I got the ratio lined up where it's 2-1. So it's 2-1 followers to following, which is always key to have the ratio intact. But anyways, this is our final show from the Time Life building here in Midtown, New York City. We're heading down to Hudson Street for possibly a couple more weeks. And I haven't told a ton of people, but likely leaving the state of New York after December 31st. Once January 1st hits, this could be the end. Unless I might end up going to Charlotte, North Carolina. Maybe record from their studio, but who knows? Is in a couple of weeks, this show on this network could be ending. So we'll see. But stay posted on social media for that. But the end of an era, and it's been a great run. The Time Life building here started December 2014, and it's been 3 years of four separate podcasts. Went from Fourth and Goal with JB and BT with Ben Troop. From December through February, the football season ended. It became Brown and Troop. That was show number two. That went from March 2015 to June 2015. It ended, a mutual ending, but Troop sent it through text. It was like one of those breakups through text, which was so middle school.
Did you ever get your TV back?
Never got the TV. He stole the TV from the stupid bet where he beat me bowling 2 out of 3, where he told me his average score was 75 and he bowled to 160 and was throwing spinners like he was one of those PBA ESPN Sunday afternoon bowlers. So he won the TV. So that went till June, and then we had a little break, couple months. That break was killing me. It was the only break I really had in shows, and that went from June until late August when we started recording Brown and Scoop. And Brown and Scoop went from beginning of September until the end September 2015 to September 2016, went just over a year. And then as soon as first week of October, switched it over to the Jake Brown Show, and it's been October 2016 to December 2017. So potentially after 14 months, it could end in 3 years of four different shows. Crazy that it's been that long. And that could be a wrap after this. And it's a lot of good memories here in this building. I mean, a lot of times it's working and then recording late. I've been here. There were nights I was here till 2 a.m. The night the Mets won the National League, I was here till like 1 or 2 a.m. And then I had the whole Gio and Jones calling me a lazy millennial on CBS Sports Radio the next morning because I had a predetermined day off because I was going to see Jimmy Kimmel in Brooklyn that day. And I got called lazy millennial because I sent the email that I was going to be out while the Mets were up 6-0, and the timing was very poor on my part of that email. And they figured I was out. And so many cool guests over the years, good memories, nights where we've surely popped bottles before when no one was here. It's been a good run, and it's weird to leave this building and head to Hudson Street. And I wish we were recording from Hudson from day one. The atmosphere there is great. You have, obviously, Frances. You got all the shows there. You got Joe and Evan. You got all – I mean, that's where the magic happens, down at Hudson Street. That's where everything happens. That's where your dream is, as me, since I was 7, to work from down there. So it'll be cool to at least, if I do leave, have a couple closing weeks potentially down on Hudson Street. You have a very confused face.
So wait, you never listened to The Fan when they were in Queens?
I mean, I was born in 91, so they...
They were in Queens.
I listened to it starting in 98,
okay,
probably.
So you were...
98, I don't think they were in Queens.
All right.
Yeah. 98, I moved from Queens to Connecticut, but It'll be crazy to actually record from down there. Did it a couple of times, recorded from down there when we had that show with all the on-air guys there. And it's a dream to record in that studio. I mean, it was a dream. And I was sick recording with Tiki Barber from the Boomer and Carton, or from Boomer and Carton studio, RIP Carton, who is now back with a podcast.
You've heard, yeah.
The first episode, I think, dropped yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, with Scaramucci. His first guest, so I might have to tune into that just to see how crazy that went off the rails. But it'll be cool to be down there a couple of weeks, maybe my last hurrah, and it saddens me to potentially leave New York. I mean, I love this place, leaving the Mets, leaving the Knicks, Jets, and it's tough, and people don't realize it, and I feel for these new recent ESPN layoffs and everyone there. The week I got laid off was the first round, and now the new ESPN layoffs, and everyone, a lot of people getting laid off with the merger. I mean, here, you could be happening here. We don't know at any time, at any moment.
Yeah, we have no idea.
No one here knows. So it happens, and now it's been over 7 months of unemployment, and it's unbelievable to me that it's still going, and it's trying to make it work in New York is very difficult with the financials here. I mean, my place is $1,200 a month for like a one bedroom, living with three girls, an absolute mess. By the way, girls are slops, and there's tufas. What are they called? The things you rub yourself with. The rub your body with the oofa loofa. These things are falling on the floor when I'm trying to shower. I don't use a oofa loofa oompa dee doo. I don't use one of those oompa loompa, whatever the thing is called. It scrubs your body.
Yeah,
these things are on the floor. The floor is dirty. I mean, it is. You girls are slobs. I look so much cleaner.
I think the worst thing is the hair.
Yeah, and there's hair all over the floor. I don't have to worry about that. There ain't nothing up there. If there's ever hair on the floor, it's coming from another part of my body. But, I mean, it is tough living with girls. So it's a tough situation, and I'll say that it's definitely, it changes your life in a lot of ways, financially, emotionally. It changed your viewpoint and everything, and it's changed me a lot, and it's been a tough time, and I'm hoping something pulls through soon, but it really hits your, it hits your self-consciousness when you're 7 months without working and still doing the show, which is good. But, everyone goes through it. I know our buddy Norm went through it. He had a blog about unemployment, and he talked about it. I feel like that's something I should do. People love when I tell unemployment stories when I'm home watching, like, Judge Judy or Price is Right, that I should really start writing about it. And if it lasts any longer, I might start writing about it. But just had to say that you feel for those people, and it's been a longer stretch than anyone's expected. I surely didn't expect it. You go through interview after interview, and you get declined at some, and it lowers your morale, but you just got to keep pushing through it. In this industry, there's just so little jobs at some points for just so many people who don't have one, that they're just going to be people that know people who know people, or family members of people in a company. They're going to get it over you, and you just have to deal with that fact. That's life. That's any industry, that if you know people, you're going to get it over someone that they don't know, even if you're more qualified for a position. That's just how to get that off my chest. But we have some interesting, we have Pat Ananetti here and Brian Corson, who have helped along the way. Seth, I believe, started off doing the shows, and then Seth probably got sick of me, and then Pat's been doing most of the show. Corson got the sweatpants show. Has had a couple others here.
Yeah, I've had a few here and there.
We've had some interesting guests. Mo Vaughn in studio on the show. Jim Norton. Jim Brewer was the opening show. I'm trying to think who. We've had some interesting
Lenny
guests.
Lenny Dykstra.
Matis Yahoo. Lenny Dykstra, friend of the program. He texted me over Thanksgiving a couple weeks after I texted him. Just checking in. I have to check in with him. James Blake. We had Squints on the show.
David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff was on Brown and Scoop.
Oh, that was when I was older. Oh, sorry about that.
No, yeah, no. I mean, that's over. It's we're looking back over the year. This is like look back in time moment.
I thought it was just you doing that one.
No, that one was me here. Scoop was on the phone. He was not in studio for that. We did that over the phone. Sonny Vaccaro has been on shows. I mean, if we look at all the guys over the years, Lisa Ann, Cleats and Cleavage, Dr. Ben Carson, Mario Andretti, the Samaki Walker interview that was trending on Facebook worldwide, an interview that broke the internet that day. We so many I'm trying to think. We've had so many. David Banner in studio. Stephanie Santiago and her big ass. We had Jennifer White, the porn star, who texted me when she was in New York. And I got hit at 4:30 a.m. with the, "Hey, hon, you up?" text. And the only time I wasn't up, my phone should have set an alarm like, "Porn star text, porn star text, yes. Wake up, wake up, wake up." And I was asleep, unfortunately. So we had everyone from porn stars to actors to rappers to players to coaches to writers to fashion stylists to really every kind of guest. So it may be ending, but I like to thank all the guests. Thank you guys for helping out with the show and having some fun with us, and for everyone who's helped out during the show and all the followers. It's been definitely a good run, and but we have more stories in store for today that we're gonna get to, Pat, and we did tease, and I know people wanted to hear about the date with a girl with a beard. So should we start with the good stuff before we get to sports? I feel like
you want to start with that one?
And joining us later in the show will be. I'll start with the sports, because joining us later in the show is going to be Lawrence Tynes. He joined us, former Giants kicker, two-time Super Bowl champion, to talk about Eli. So we'll get a little sports out of the way first and then mix it with the show. The date stories. Love a good date story. And then we'll go to Tynes. First off, Ben McAdoo fired, Jerry Reese fired. We all saw it coming. I know Pat is very anti-Eli Manning and thinks he's a big baby of some sense, when the guy is a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, a two-time Super Bowl champ, face of the franchise, who played every game since 2004. The only reason he didn't play was because he was benched wrongfully, and you give him credit for that. And the Giants handled it poorly. I think John Mara realized he shouldn't have agreed on that decision. He should have overridden them and said, you know what, we need to play Eli. There was no reason for them to bench him for Geno Smith. Geno Smith is not a starting NFL quarterback, and the move was made. McAdoo's gone. Take his hair gel with him. We don't need him anywhere near here. Jerry Reese did some good things. They won Super Bowls, but his time's up. You start fresh, and the Giants head another direction. So I think that was the right move, and it's a move you had to make when you have three home games remaining and fans are, you're hoping, going to show up, and they're really not. And you want fans to kind of think of this as maybe Eli's swan song. And maybe these are his last couple of home games. And that's maybe why people will buy tickets. And you have to think of that from the PR standpoint, that you do not want 25 former Giants at the game against the Cowboys, mind you, a team that's still in the race, a team that's your rival, there on Sunday with Eli jerseys, like stepping all over your franchise. So they went out. They said, you know what? We made a mistake. We made a hiccup. We're going to start Eli on Sunday. I think it's a right move. And if you're not going to see Davis Webb this year, it means with that top five pick, you have to pick a quarterback, whether it's Rosen, whether it's Mayfield, whether it is
Darnold.
I don't know how I just forgot that. Whether it's one of those guys, it's pretty much a sign you have to pick him. If you're not going to play the youth now, and you are going to get rid of Eli, you have to pick him. If you're not going to get rid of Eli, you still pick him because you want Eli to pass the torch to a capable NFL quarterback. Davis Webb was never looked at as a franchise quarterback. This guy was a late-round pick, and I think we all know the Giants made a mistake if not going to Webb instead of Geno. They did that. But I think now it's kind of too late to do that, to start Webb and watch him get just wrecked behind a pathetic offensive line. Davis Webb might die in his rookie season with how bad the offensive line is. So it's something you can't really do. And Ben McAdoo, we talk about it. We'll talk about it with times. I don't want to talk about it too much. We live in an age where these guys relate to young coaches. They relate to the coach that knows about Twitter, who knows about sliding in DMs, who knows about viral videos, who's online. A guy like Lane Kiffin, people relate to these coaches, and that's why the Rams are doing so good, and Sean McVay has been so good in his first year. These guys relate. He relates to the players, and I think players respect that more than an old coach like McAdoo, who doesn't relate, who has no control of the locker room. And I think the Giants might have to head in a younger direction. We're seeing it all over. Mike Tomlin, tremendous coach in Pittsburgh. Look what the Steelers are doing. Win again last night. They're 10-2. Relates. The players love Mike Tomlin. By the way, Herm Edwards' speech was amazing getting introduced yesterday. I'm excited for all his press conferences more than him coaching.
The whole Devil's Digest thing was pretty funny.
He had no idea that his team is the Arizona Sun Devils.
Was it a joke?
Arizona State.
That was just hysterical.
I think he had no idea that his team is called the Sun Devils, and he's got to realize that Devil's Digest is referring to the team.
Yeah, the reporter's like, whatever his name is, a Devil's Digest, and Herm Edwards was like,
I'd love to get a follow-up.
Where are you from? I'm Catholic. No devils around here. It seemed like
real.
It,
it seemed like he doesn't know, but I'm curious if maybe he was joking, but I don't think it was a joke because he sounded
How
serious.
How do you not know the name? You steal a collar. How do you not know
that? He better start learning. Yeah. But, I mean, if he works on the sidelines and everything works out, then I don't think people will care too much.
As long as they win the game, right?
Yeah, his post games are going to be great, so I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, we'll see who the Giants choose. And, again, some other news before we get to the girl with the beard. Now, Pat, we'll say, is 41 now and married. So these stories are from, like, 2 decades ago, before dating apps, correct? This is before dating apps?
There might before apps.
Before apps,
yeah,
period.
Before apps, period.
This
yeah.
is the day of apps appetizers. Apps. Not, nothing
mean,
was called.
I like, mean, most people had beepers then.
Yeah.
Match.com was days. Around. Love at AOL.
Oh, Love at AOL? Yeah. Is that where you met her?
I don't remember where I met this.
These were in person. This is when you were at Seton Hall. This is when you were 21 years old. When you were first getting your first legal
like
drinks.
Yeah.
All right. So this is when Pat had hair.
I did. I wish I had a picture.
You had an afro or no?
No, I had.
Oh, you had some short hair.
It was short, yeah.
So everyone wants to hear this story. Some other things. Ryan Shazier, scary injury. No surgery yet. No one knows his timetable yet. I don't expect him to play in the coming weeks, and they don't need him at 10-2 right now. But hopefully he is okay. Smith-Schuster, suspended one game for this hit on Vontaze Burfict, which in my mind wasn't that dirty of a hit. I think it was fine-worthy, and I think if he appeals, he should get it overturned. Gronk, no. If I know he's appealing. If I'm Gronk, I just sit out. There's no reason to peel that dirty hit. You guys saw it.
I saw the Gronk hit. I didn't see
it. I read about it. I haven't seen it.
He leveled the guy on the ground and got him concussed because he was angry that they didn't call pass interference. Totally uncalled for. If I'm him, I take the suspension. But you understand him appealing just because his check for each week is $221,000. So it's a lot of money. I love it for me. Because one of my leagues, I'm playing Gronk in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah,
so it works
too.
Out well for me. I was checking my leagues. I'm like, please, one. And I ended up playing in my league with our former colleague, Greg Larnard. I'm not playing him, but I'm playing a friend of his. So that worked out. But, yeah, in the NFL, the Chiefs, the AFC West craziness going on. The Chiefs lose to the Jets. And the Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers. The Chargers look like the favorite to win the division as the Raiders dealing with injuries. They'll get Crabtree back, who I'm kind of thinking about starting or not starting. I have to choose either Crabtree or Marshawn Lynch as my flex, and I think I'm going Crabtree just because Amari Cooper looks like he might be out again. And if Crabtree's number one, I think I got to go with Crabtree against the Chiefs over Lynch. So it's a tough decision for me because Lynch has played good the last couple of weeks. The Jaguars keep rolling. The Jaguars are in first. The Vikings still look dominant. They look great. They're 10-2. The NFC showing us, you know what, you might have to go 11-5 to get in. The Seahawks are hitting stride. The Seahawks are the sixth seed. The Saints are showing us, you know what, they're for real. They beat the Panthers. The Rams, again, a dominant victory for them. The Eagles, you know what, they have a great record, but they haven't beat many good teams. The Cowboys still alive. And Matt Stafford hurt his throwing hand, so we'll see what happens. I'm playing him in fantasy, so that should be interesting. So the NFL, the playoffs are shaping up a couple weeks. Your fantasy playoffs coming up this week. And, yeah, the next time we do talk sports, it will be down on Hudson Street. DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant last night. Kevin Durant would stand no chance against DeMarcus Cousins. And I think that's just two guys trying to be tough guys. I don't think there was a shot in the world that was going to really go down. There was no chance that those two would fight, but they needed security in the back to make sure that they wouldn't. So that is just NBA tough guys going down at it. And Steph Curry got hurt. It looks like he'll be okay, but he might miss a couple of games. the Knicks just can't stay healthy. Tim Hardaway Jr. might be out a while now. And I'll have a piece tomorrow come up on the state of the Knicks quarter of the way through the season. Who are they? What's their identity? So that's going to be intriguing. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, Spotify. Let's switch it over now because no one cares right now about sports. And we made so much lifestyle. And with a couple of weeks left, just want to have fun with the show. And when Corson was here, he told me that him and Pat go way back. They know each other. That Pat knew Corson's wife from back in the day.
Yes.
Friends. For just friends, nothing more.
Yes.
Which is good, because then it would be kind of awkward, by the way. but
we worked together.
We worked
so
together.
So we were like work buddies, and like the people we work with, we would just hang out. And
just happy hours and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, happy hour.
If happy hours was still a thing in 1987.
We would go to...
What year were you born?
I was born before 87.
77?
76.
76.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
81.
81.
Yeah.
So you're 36.
Yeah.
You're 41. Sorry to throw age out there.
That's all right. I don't care.
Both are married now, but in a land two decades ago when Rick Astley was making hits, Never Gonna Give You Up, and fanny packs were in, and before iced coffee took over the basic bitch world, and Instagram and social media and all this happened, and they weren't really dating. I was talking Match.com maybe a little bit, but you met girls, and here we'll show Pat. We'll get it off one bald head to another, and here's Corson, and we'll have you two.
I have a little bit of hair. I mean,
you're getting blocked by microphone. Yeah,
no one needs to see me.
I should have sat there.
Here's Pat. So, Pat. There's Pat. We're gonna tell a story. So Pat had
and
dates here.
I'm not trying to be shallow. I mean, you guys see me. I'm not that good looking. But
don't put yourself
down. It's just a funny story. So, you know, any right, females so listening, don't get mad. I'm not shouting.
And he's going to tell us these stories, which involve a girl with a beard. Let's start with that story, and then we'll try and converse on this and what happened.
Before Pat gets to this, I just want to say that I can vouch for the authenticity of these stories. These are not made up stories. These are absolutely real stories.
Well, Corson told me that Pat was like a serial dater and had some great stories. So now we're just going to tell the stories, and we're going to start with the girl with the beard because that is something out of a movie. So Pat, take it away.
I don't know what I was on.
Can you see yourself?
Yeah, I see myself. Right. I was on, you know, I met this girl online, and back then, very few people had pictures. She did not have a picture. She worked at a bank, and she would tell me how all the guys came into the bank and flirted with her.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, sounds good. Spoke to her on the phone. She had her sexy voice. I was like, all right, we'll go in. We made plans.
So you hadn't met her.
I have not met
her. I just got to get the feel for
the
whole story.
Yeah, we haven't met. So we made plans.
Where did you talk again? How did you get her number?
Through one of those things you mentioned, either Love at AOL or Match.com, Matchmakers.com, something. Okay. Yahoo Love, Yahoo Personals, I think it was called. One of them. And we spoke on the phone, and then we made plans. Like, she lived down, I don't know if anybody's from Jersey. She lived down in like the Monmouth County area. I was from North Jersey. I lived in Hudson County. So we made plans to meet up for lunch during the summer. One, maybe spend time at like one of the beaches and then have dinner. So that was the plan. It was like a whole day of hanging out. I was like really excited. So she asked me to...
You were 21 or 20.
I was something like that. Yeah, I was young.
What kind of hair did you have?
What did I have?
Afro?
Short? No, I didn't have an afro. Okay. I might have had like...
I don't know. I can't picture Pat with an afro. No,
I might have had like...
You had some
a,
like short hair.
A wedge kind of cut in the back with some straight thin hair. You know, like...
It was maybe a little longer than mine in a way, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember that. You definitely had hair and...
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened?
And then, so I went to her house to pick her up. I went to her house to pick her up. She lived with her parents. So okay. I was like, okay, no problem. I wasn't that scared because she was. So I went to her house to pick her up.
So you only had the this was a blind date because you didn't
basically,
know.
Basically, yeah.
You
no
just
idea.
Thought she had a sexy voice.
She had a sexy voice, and she told me that she was hot because guys hit on her a lot.
Okay, well.
But here's the thing.
Seemed too promising.
So you know, but if you're in your early 20s and you're bored and a girl wants to hang out, you
I know, man. I've been on many days to remember.
Right.
All right, so you show up to the house. You're going up to the door. This is like Nee from Catfish, essentially, about to happen.
Right.
You have no idea what's coming.
And this,
the door opens.
And she was in a like a short skirt, thigh-high boots.
Big legs? Big girl?
I mean, she was a not really heavy, but like, you know, not really skinny.
Were you a chubby guy then? Or?
Oh, no, I was super skinny.
He was super skinny. Toothpick, yeah.
I was a toothpick.
Toothpick.
Yeah.
Good-looking dude?
No. I mean, you see what I was like. All right,
so, he's honest with himself. All right. So you open the door. You see her. She's in a skirt. What happens? You look up.
I looked down. And I was kind of hoping maybe it was her sister, but it wasn't. It turned out to be her.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, God. So it was funny, though, because she had to go to the bank to back even no direct deposit. She had to go to the bank to pick up her paycheck. So she's like, hey.
You said she works at the bank.
She works at the bank, but I guess she was off that day. So I had to drive her to the bank to pick up her paycheck.
This was
before the day. That was the
beginning. This was 1997.
Everything was super convenient.
No direct deposit.
Just,
so we
this
drove.
Is the first time meeting, and she's going to deposit a check.
And the first time I met her,
this is very weird.
She went to the bank. She got out of the car. She goes, "I'll be right back." She actually left her purse in the car with me. First time we met.
Well, that's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
You're not going to steal it.
I wasn't going to steal anything, but I really thought about taking the purse, throwing it out of the window, and hopping back on the parkway back up to North Jersey. I really thought about that, but I thought that would be messed up. I'm a nice guy, so I waited for her. She came back out, and we went to get lunch. We went to the pizzeria. A pizzeria.
You still haven't shared the fact that you met her, and did she have a beard?
She had a beard. Like, I'm not talking about,
you can't just leave that. That's the whole story.
She had a beard.
That's a good point, yeah.
I was going to get to it. I was going to get to it when we went for lunch.
Okay,
She had a beard, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, a lot of hair by her ear or, like, low.
What do you mean
hair by
beard?
Like, it was.
Are you sure she was of the female gender and not tranny or male?
Well, I mean, yes, I believe so.
You have no confirmation.
I guess I never.
Did you look below the skirt?
No, I didn't look below the skirt.
She pre-op, post-op. We don't know.
Maybe. I mean, but back then, I really wasn't.
Can you explain the beard? Like, was it aggressive? Like as much hair as mine on my face?
Not that much. But she had like whiskers, and she didn't just have like lip hair that she needed a wax. She had like her head hair met her upper lip hair, which met her chin hair, all connected. It was all one.
Was she so broke that she needed to deposit that check in order to buy a razor? Maybe she did.
But I was so turned off.
No, I didn't say anything. Were you turned off by that? Like, did she have a pretty face behind
the beard? Yeah, it could have been. She looked like she had a cute face.
What could have been behind the beard?
She had a cute face, but the facial hair just was such a turnoff. Oh, and it was just it wasn't like,
I don't know how I'd stay in the car.
A girl who just didn't wax. Like, this was really like, she just had, especially that she knew she was going on a date. Like, she could have gone to the salon.
Might have needed to buy a race.
So we and I felt like I was really like, I hate to be shallow, not sounding shallow, but I was really so turned off.
She has a beard.
Exactly. So we went out to lunch. We went to a pizzeria, which was a mistake. I will get to that.
The cheese got stuck in the beard and the sauce.
Let him keep going.
But first, let me say that I ordered one slice
because
I couldn't eat around her. She ordered two. I was so repulsed. She ordered two, and I'm like,
two is not a big deal.
But
I like when a girl has two because I always eat two or three.
But that's okay. If you eat three, she eats two. The girl should not eat more than the guy.
She has a beard. This is not the right part of the story.
I have to say,
she's got a beard. I mean, you would normally not eat just one slice.
I would not know. I only ate one because she was a little repulsive. But then the pizza.
But she wasn't fat.
She wasn't thin either. She was like medium built.
Okay.
If she didn't have a beard, I would have maybe pursued a second date with her.
That's interesting.
But maybe.
So what happened in the pizza place besides her ordering two slices?
Well, the pizza guy gave me the stare of death because I told him it was separate, not together.
So you didn't pay for it?
I didn't pay for it. No.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And she seemed cool with it, but I figured that was a big hint. Like, I wouldn't even pay for her pizza. I was trying to, like, that's the biggest clue.
Is that the end of the story?
Well, no. She ate that. We sat at the table, and she didn't seem to bother her. It did not seem to bother her because she sat at the table and she wanted to eat the pizza. And we're sitting across from each other, so I'm looking at her. And
I just love pizza, man.
I couldn't even eat my slice of pizza. And like Brian said, I could eat four slices of pizza easily.
You couldn't eat it because you were repulsed by the beard?
And then it got worse. The pizza was very greasy, so the grease got stuck in her chin hair. And she didn't really wipe it, and it hardened. And you could see like the grease just stuck in her chin hair. So I actually excused myself.
So it was coming down. Yes. And it was just stuck in here.
Yes.
And she didn't have she didn't use a napkin or anything.
No.
She was just letting
it go. She may not have felt
it.
I don't know.
During this whole thing, was there conversation? Like, what do you do? How are you? What are you doing? Was there any sort of conversation?
We talked. Yeah, but I didn't know how to bring that up. I didn't want to like be judgmental. I didn't want to like sound like I was making fun of her or like what was I going to say? Hey, you had a date yesterday. You figured you just look like that. Like, didn't you go to the salon? Like I know salon. I do.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point. I mean, like, what are you going to say? You got a little there. Was she going to think it's the grease or is it the beard?
Right. So I didn't know what to say.
So it was
you know,
very
and
awkward.
I know, like, before you have a date, you'll shave your head. Maybe you'll trim up. Like, men even, you know.
Yeah, you won't wear sweatpants. Yeah.
You don't wear sweatpants, right.
Until she stays over and then you wear them.
But, I mean, right, so
what happened from there?
I excused myself. I went to the restroom. I actually called a mutual friend, another one of the workers I had with Carson's wife, and I said...
Where were you working? You were 21. Were you in college?
I might have been in college still because I was... we worked at a video store. For your young millennials don't know, you used to go to a store to rent movies.
It was an adult video?
No.
There was an adult section.
Was it like Blockbuster?
It was a Blockbuster competitor.
I don't know. Why can't we just say it?
I don't know. Can we say the name?
What's the difference?
I don't know. What was that?
I love Blockbuster talking. Yeah. This is how you know we're getting the 90s. Yeah. I love Blockbuster.
It was
there's still a couple Blockbusters around.
It's
apparently it's not done.
Big in Alaska here. Because the Wi-Fi.
The
Wi-Fi is
the connection sucks.
They got nothing else there. Right. So what happened? You called your friend. You're like, bro, I'm on a date with a girl.
Yes.
I think a girl that has a beard.
Yes. I go, save me. Save me. And she said, okay, this is what we're going to come up with.
Oh, it was a girl you called.
It was a girl, yes. I'm going to call you back in 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you that my car broke down in Jersey City. I called AAA, and they said they're going to be too long because back then it was only AAA, and they would take hours to show up.
Okay.
So for my commute from Monmouth County to Jersey City.
Wait. This is 97. You had a cell phone?
I had a cell phone because before the show started, I was telling a story how I had a shift at my college radio station, mm-hmm. and my car broke down on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I actually sat there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
No contact with anybody because I had no cell phone. The next day, I actually have a friend who was a cell phone salesman. So the next day, I went to him and I said, I need a cell phone. And I was like one of my first.
One of the long cords.
Yeah, the long flip the cord.
All right, so you call and then their friend called you in 10 minutes.
Oh,
and they
it was the
you.
Longest 10 minutes of my life.
Yeah. So were there more
and
grease
then she
in the beard?
Yeah, she finished her two slices. She was arguing with me.
About
and again,
what?
Like you would think the hints, drop the hints. I was like, I got to go pick up my friend at Jersey City. Her car broke down. And the girl was like, well, can't you call AAA? Why would you drive up there? It's an hour away. And I was like, she's really stranded. She needs my help. We're really good friends. AAA said they would take too long. Me getting up there would be quicker. I had to like convince. She's arguing with me.
And
like,
then what happened? You drove her home?
Well, I drove her home. She said, call me later. And I was like, I'm not. And I figured
you
this
said,
girl,
okay.
Okay, I said, okay, well, I'll call you later.
And did you give her a kiss on the beard?
No. No kiss. And I figured, driving home, I'm like, thank you. I called. I remember the girl's name who helped me out, but I don't remember the girl's name on the dates. And I was like, you know, thank you for helping me. That was great. I got home. I was like, you know what?
You were shook at this point.
I was shook.
You were 1997 shook.
And I was like, I need to find someone new tonight and make up.
I think that I was six outside playing like hopscotch when this was going on.
It's just a fun game. I said I needed to find someone new to get over this. I needed to end the day.
And there's another date story.
No, I signed on my... Oh, we had AIM. We had
Instant Messenger.
AOL Instant Messenger.
Very big back then.
AOL Instant Messenger. So when you signed on, you heard the door open that your friend was there. She sends me an IM. Oh, did your everything work out with your friends? Are you coming back down for dinner?
The same day?
The same night. I was like, does this girl not get the hint? Like, how could I have been more clear? I was rude.
Did you answer her?
I blocked her.
Blocked the girl with the beard.
I was like, nah, she got the hit. I mean, how much? I mean, I made her pay for her own slice of pizza. I thought I was rude. I really, which is unlike me, but maybe I was being a coward and I should have told her, you know, sorry we didn't hit it off, but, you know, it's a girl.
Sorry, but you have a beard.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I'm just unattracted to you. I guess I should have said that, and I was wrong, and I was being shallow. For that, I apologize to her if she's listening. I don't know who she is, but
we have a couple minutes left. Yeah. Do you have any other crazy date stories?
The lodge one, I guess.
This is the one that I remember from the old story
days.
So
there was another girl, IAMS me. It was a hot day in July, and she had a picture, and she was a big girl. But
White girl?
She was a big white girl, short blonde hair. This may get a little graphic, but she was like, come over. I'm leaving the pool. Her complex had a pool. She was like, come over. So I said, okay, I guess. I'm not doing anything. So I went over out. She was big. So we were in the bedroom. We started making out. Well, we had, you know,
so this is first time meeting.
First time meeting
her. She hit you with the come over.
Yes.
Damn.
And
freaky.
We started making out on her bed.
Okay.
And my hand just went somewhere. And I thought I was fingering her. And then as I'm making out with her, I felt her grab my hand and lower it. And it just made me think, wait a second. Where was my hand before? And then I'm thinking, was that in her belly button? Where else could it have been? She was that big that I fingered her belly button, which totally turned me off.
This is the best story ever.
Totally turned me off. Stopped making out with her, and I said, I'm sorry, I have to go. And I just left her apartment.
Whoa.
Well, where else could it have been?
Did you confirm, or like, was that your belly button?
I did not. I was freaking out. We were making out. So
was it that big of a belly button that it was like?
Well,
you
my
were going
finger
deep
was in her. I thought I was
in something.
I thought it was in one hole, and then I felt her grab my hand and lower it. So where else could it have been?
You know what it probably was? It was in between the belly
fat,
fat.
The
yeah,
belly
it was like
fat.
Down here, and you were like, going
oh
like this.
Oh man.
Oh my god, that might be better than the beard story.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's the one 20 years later that sticks in my mind.
Wait, so did you just leave?
Yeah, I just left.
Oh my god, this is amazing. Wait.
I felt bad. I was like,
you have any other good ones? We got a couple, like 3 minutes.
There was one more that I thought I met. There was one girl. We went on one date. It was hot as summer, and again with the hair, she wore a sundress. And she didn't shave her armpits. She had armpit hair. Like, it was like Paula Cole armpit hair.
Like this much.
Yeah, it was
like
bad.
More than that.
It was like bad. You don't wear a sundress. And then I was railing. And she was like, again, she was like, you know, you should really give me a chance. You know, we should really get to know each other. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, again, I'm giving you a chance. That's why I'm here.
Was Belly Button Girl from the AOL dating
yes.
app?
Yes.
What's the name of that site? What was it?
Love at AOL, I believe it was called. At least she
belly
was
buttons
cute.
At AOL.
She was
beards
cute,
at
though.
AOL.com.
She was really cute. She had short blonde hair. I remember her. She was cute, but she was big.
Oh yeah.
I would think like a bed. She had three bellies. but the hair just turned me
and
off.
Then the armpit hair turned you
armpit
off.
Armpit hair. And again, with
any other crazy ones? Because Course made it sound like you have
I
dozens
mean,
of stories.
There might have been a lot back then.
There
I just
were a lot
can't
more.
Remember.
It's just, it's like we've been saying, it was 20 years ago. So
right,
it's, how do you remember? I don't remember a goddamn thing I did 20 years ago.
I do remember, though, like we used to hang out like on Friday nights or Saturday nights. Like him and his wife would always ask me, so what girls have you met this week? Any more
stories?
Yeah,
no, this was like a
and
regular.
Like every week I would have a new
story. Yeah,
we
absolutely have a new story.
This is like me kind of sometimes, except not with hair.
But they're all, every one of them was like a horror story.
Yeah, like that. These are the three
so
I
you
remember.
So you had no good ones, really?
No, you might have had some good ones here and there, but I mean, it was like we paid for admission for the bad ones, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, that was a good story time. The second one might have been better than
the first one.
The first, the girl with the beard.
And popped into my head quick. And I think, to think back of it, it was bad. Like, there was one girl that I met and we went all the way.
This might be her calling in right now. Hey, then, you heard the show?
And after we went all the way, she actually told me I was the 23rd person she went all the way with. And I thought that was kind of high. Why would you tell me that? Like, I thought that was
weird. How old are you?
That's not that high.
She's 21? I mean, I might have been 23.
These girls are even worse. That's just weird she told the number. Yeah. Some girls just keep track of it. I don't know.
I thought that was really weird. But yeah,
was she attractive?
She was all right.
The date stories of Brian Corson. Amazing.
Yeah. No, Pat, you said my name.
Oh, right. Sorry. I don't
have any good stories, unfortunately.
Date stories of Pat. Is that Seth calling?
No, Seth's right behind us, though.
We got to get up. People upstairs, we need to.
All right, we're going
to
wrap up the show here. Some good date stories. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Next week, likely, you'll hear us from Hudson Street. Coming up next on the show after. I don't know if anyone will hear after the show, but Lawrence Tynes, former Giants kicker, joins us to talk about the Eli situation. And then tomorrow, you'll hear Seth Gold from Hardcore Pawn on the show. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
And welcome back to the Jake Brown Show, second half of the show here, Radio.com's podcast, network, iTunes, and Spotify. Obviously, the Giants have been in the news the last couple of weeks, and a guy who has played with Eli Manning, he won two Super Bowls with Eli Manning, is the former kicker Lawrence Tynes, the other LT, at one point was called LT, and they wanted to smack him across the face and said, there's an actual LT who played here who might be the greatest player in franchise history. So it's the other LT on the line with us, friend of the program. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you, man?
Doing well. Probably leaving New York at the end of the month and heading south and hopefully Midwest, but
life is much cheaper away from there.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't want to leave New York. I'm leaving all my teens behind here, but I will definitely save a pretty penny leaving here.
We miss it, but yeah. You won't miss it in your bank account, that's for sure.
And I'll be back if I do leave, I'm sure, at some point. And if I came back, I will not see Eli Manning, but he will start on Sunday. I guess we should start with the recent news of Ben McAdoo and Joe Reese. Seemed pretty obvious that these two guys had to go. And what was your initial reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't stunned. Obviously, you know, when you're 2-10, you know, there's going to be changes made. And you know, this is the initial blast. I think you're going to see a ton of players get cut in the offseason, too. I think they're going to do wholesale changes. Obviously, I have an affection towards Jerry Reese. I never played for Ben, but I think I was Jerry's first trade he ever made as a general manager. And so, you know, to him, I'm thankful for that. He traded for me when I was in Kansas City. We won two Super Bowls together. I have a lot of good memories with Jerry. I saw him at the 10-year anniversary reunion, you know, week two of the season. Had a good time hanging out with him and his wife. So I like Jerry. Listen, things don't work out always. You don't get to stay places, you know, for as long as you want. And it was just kind of a, you know, like John Mara said, it was like the perfect storm this year and everything went bad.
Yeah, this was a team on paper that looked like a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, everything went bad with the injuries and the coaching wasn't bad. And you have to think, Lawrence, that Ben McAdoo kind of lost his team. There were guys that were quit on him, like Janoris Jenkins in that 49er game, and there were defenders who just showed no effort whatsoever at times. The offensive line sucked. It seemed like he lost the locker room in some senses.
It did. You know, it's hard to pinpoint. Obviously, I'm still close to the organization, and I talk to people. You won't hear anyone say that internally, but obviously the film doesn't lie. When you're watching games, you see guys that lay tackles and not want to get off blocks to make a play. You know, there's an old saying in football, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And that's what it looked like. You know, it really did. And it was tough to see because you know, no matter how good or bad the Giants have been in the last 15 years, effort was always something you could count on. So that was tough to watch.
You wrote a nice letter to Eli and when the news happened. I mean, how disappointed were you how the Giants handled that? And just to see him basically in tears when it happened, and then you heard Archie say that this really broke Eli's heart, that he was considering retirement. It seems like he'll be back now, he said. But, I mean, your initial reaction when you saw the Giants handle that?
Well, I knew that 99% of the world was just going to attack. And that, when I say that, I mean go after McAdoo, go after the Giants. And I think, you know, for me, it was really about, you know, Eli and thinking about how he felt and what I felt at the time. I mean, it hurt me emotionally because I know what he's meant to me and my teammates and the staff and the people that work behind the scenes there. He's one of the most adored players in franchise history, if not the most. And so I just wanted to, you know, listen, obviously I texted him and said that, but I wanted to write a letter almost to the world to say, hey, look, this is who this guy is. And I preferred to almost focus on all the positive because there was so much negativity with it. But I was disappointed. Listen, I never in a million years saw that happening. I just wish if they did make the switch that it was to Davis Webb so we could see what he can do. I mean, it makes natural sense that if you're going to play somebody, play – you know, the young kid, and I don't have anything against, you know, Geno Smith. I mean, I thought he played okay the other day. He'll be in the NFL for a while. He's still a competent player, but you know, it just would have been better. I just thought it was handled so poorly.
Yeah, I'll agree to disagree on competent player, because that I mean, Geno turns it over left and right, and still makes so many rookie mistakes for a guy who's been in the league 4 or 5 years. I guess he didn't look horrid. I mean, he led somewhat of a comeback on Sunday, but I think it's the right move, and I'm sure you agree that it's the right move here, despite the little 1 week hiccup, to go back to Eli Manning on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, you know, I think Spags will rally those guys. Listen, they are who they are. They're a 2-10 football team. That they'll have a spark early. I think the stadium will be rejuvenated. Hopefully, they show up and for the Giants, but you know, they're a 2-10 football team. Let's not forget who they are. There'll be some energy early. Spags will, you know, get them fired up, but you know, I just think personnel wise they're so limited, you know, in terms of what they can and can't do.
Do you think Eli plays the rest of the year? Are we going to see Davis Webb at any point during these 4 games, or do you expect this to be the Eli train until the final to the clock hits zero?
I think Eli plays, you know, the rest of the year, just based off what John Mara said yesterday, is that, you know, we're trying to win these 3 games. And so your best opportunity to do that is with number 10. And based off that statement yesterday at his presser, I would say that Eli plays the rest of the year, barring injury, knock on wood.
What do you think the future holds? Do you think it depends on who the new GM or coach are? Do you think Eli's back? Do they draft a quarterback? If you're the GM, what's your plan of attack?
Well, listen, I said this yesterday on Twitter. This was a PR damage control move on top of, you know, I think they're doing this to try and patch up relationships with Eli.
Three home games remaining too. You don't want the fans storming the field here the next couple of weeks, and the former players showing up in number 10s that were going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, and Eli would have hated that. But but I'll say this: I think he plays the rest of the year. I think they're going to have to hire, you know, a good GM and a good coach that sits down with Eli and says, "Look, you're our guy for the next 2 years. We may draft a quarterback high. We, you know." I think they are going to, because otherwise we would have seen Davis Webb. And then it's your show for the next 2 years till we get this guy ready. I don't know. It would be hard for me. I'll tell you, you know, just putting myself in his shoes, I feel like he was so hurt by this that he's basically, you know, wants to go somewhere else and, you know, stick it right up there, you know what.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, listen, Eli's a sensible guy. He understands where he is and what he's done for that organization. So I do think that he will give it some serious thought, depending on who the coach is, and the general manager, and what they want to do. Do they want to come in and start right off with a rookie, or do they want to do they think they have a roster that can compete next year if they're all healthy?
And if that's the case, I mean, you got to think about taking Rosen or Darnold here in the, if you're a top five pick, because Davis Webb is not going to be the starter next year. I mean, if that's happening, the Giants are prepared for a 3 or 4 win season again. So I think you got to think about drafting one of those top two guys, don't you think? Or do you sign a veteran like Alex Smith?
Yeah. No. No.
Alex Smith.
No, I live here. I see him every Sunday. Is he a good player? Absolutely. He plays. I just think you're just putting lipstick on a pig at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, it's either Eli for 2 years, or you just dive right in with one of those top picks. How come no one ever mentions Baker Mayfield? I think he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's
top five worthy?
Man, it just depends. Yeah. He could woo the right person away. Listen, does he have some flags? Sure he does. But his mobility, he's never injured, knock on wood. Rosen's injured a lot. I don't know about Sam Darnold. He seems pretty durable. But, man, I'd take that kid from Oklahoma in a heartbeat.
And
I just think what he brings to the table.
It seems like his demeanor, he fits New York. He's always grabbing at balls,
yes.
and the way he's showing off against opponents. Maybe his kind of game will work with the Giants.
I just think his mobility, until they get this offensive line fixed, you can't go to a pure pocket passer, which I think Rosen is. I also think that Darnold's a little bit more mobile. So is the kid in Wyoming, Allen. But, man, this kid, Baker Mayfield, he can make plays. And, I think he's in the mold of Russell Wilson. I know that's a high praise, but he does things that Russell can do. He's probably a little bit better passer than Russell was coming out, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants pick. Lawrence Fiennes, LT4 Kicks, joining us here on the Jake Brown Show. Is there a coach you have in mind or a couple that you think the Giants should go after, like a John Fox if he gets fired, and a guy who's been there before, or any other names that stick out to you?
Coach Fox would, I think Coach Fox has already been on record saying this is his last stop. So, with Chicago, I don't know who's out there. I was talking about this with some friends the other day. It almost seems like, and granted, McAdoo was a younger guy, but you look at the guy out in with the Rams, he's young.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at Shanahan, he's young.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the older generation coaches do not mesh well with today's younger players.
I agree, yeah.
They're different. They're different. You can't MF them. You got to coach them differently, and I coach youth sports, and, man, my ways don't work sometimes because I'm from the old school, get out and give me 10 push-ups kind of world.
The Tom Coughlin world.
Now it's a little bit different, and you got to be hip. You got to be cool. You look at Lane Kiffin down in Common. He's having a blast.
Got to be on Twitter.
Yeah, and so it's almost like, that turnaround with the Rams is astonishing. And
I agree.
If they get the right coach, the Giants – and they could just jump right in and be that Rams team next year because they have enough pieces, probably better pieces than the Rams had.
I don't think they're built to be a team that tanks. I think they have the talent to be good next year, and if everyone comes back healthy, and they make the right moves and they get offensive line, most importantly, I think the defense is there when these guys give it their all. And I agree, you need a young coach who can relate. What McVay has done, I said the Rams were a 6-win team before the season, and this team is a Super Bowl contender out of nowhere. And it's all about relating. And it's weird because you think, oh, the older coach, they'll respect him more. They've won, like a Bill Belichick. Belichick's in his class of his own. These young guys, once these players can relate, they could tweet something at him. They know about sliding in DMs and stuff like that. They know what the young guys game. I feel like in this day and age, as bad as it is, and the millennials like I am at 26, that if you can relate to a guy, you respect them more than them just being old and having won.
Right. And it's just different. It really is. And I'm not saying that kids are kids. I think just how we're raising them is a little bit different than how we were all raised. But there's something to be said about a younger coach right now. And there'll be some good options out there. I think there's some young coordinators out there that would, be great candidates. I don't know who they are yet, but I'm sure the Maras and the Tishes will put together a good plan. And, this has to work. You can't keep – this is a very un-Giants-like, from Coughlin to McAdoo to here we are again. So
Yeah, and who would have thought that the Jets are being talked about as the class of New York right now after this Eli decision, and the Jets getting us New Yorkers more dollar coffees from Dunkin' Donuts the day after a win than the Giants have.
Yeah.
I enjoyed one of those yesterday, and iced coffees will not die in winter. I will enjoy an iced coffee in wintertime over a hot coffee. As crazy as it sounds, they're good year-round. Any chance Spags gets the job?
Listen, there's a chance. There really is a chance, and I know how much he cares about the players. The players love him. I still love him every time I see him. I give him a big hug. He is relatable to the guys. He's very personable. It's hard. You know, I just think they're going to want to make wholesale changes and remove everyone from that regime and move on. Whether he wins 3 out of 4 or whatever's left, there's a possibility, sure. I mean, John mentioned that at the press conference yesterday. There's certainly a possibility that Spags is a candidate for sure.
What was your favorite thing about Eli Manning? Just a couple of Eli memories before I let you go.
He's just so funny, man. I mean, I know people probably, you know, they don't get to see that. Everyone's heard that. He's just funny dude, man. He's so chill. You know, our lockers were next to each other for 6 years, so we spent a lot of time, you know, in between practices and meetings just kind of BSing. You know, he's just a good dude, man. That's what hurt me. Like, and he's done everything right. And he's just a good person, man. You know, he's a football player and everyone sees that. But behind that helmet and those shoulder pads is a really, really cool dude. And, you know, I think you saw the outpouring of respect from the league this week. And he appreciated that. And he's earned it.
And isn't it – I don't like when people debate if Eli is a Hall of Famer. Isn't it a lock that this guy is a Hall of Famer?
I say so. Here's the deal. Listen, he's it's the thing we all loved about Eli, right? He's going to throw 4 picks against the Vikings. But next week he's going to throw 5 touchdowns against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that little bit of unknown with Eli was kind of like why we all love him. He's not perfect. Just like none of us were perfect. But I'll tell you what, when the lights came on in January and February, number 10 was there to play. And I think that's what people in New York and New Jersey love about him.
And you talked about him being funny. I was just watching some of his commercials after it happened, all the memories. And the fantasy football video, I love that with him and Peyton where, oh, my God. Do you remember that one, the DirecTV football fantasy one?
Yeah, there was just so many of them. He's still our – that's what I said in my letter. He's our favorite commercial personality because, you know, he's funny. He's just a funny dude, man.
Yeah, and seeing him cry, I mean, that like, broke my heart.
Because when you've given what he's given to that city, it's hard to watch, man. It was hard. It hurt me, hurt my wife, hurt everybody to watch that knows him personally. So I'm glad he's back in the saddle this week. You know, whether they win or not, I don't think that's important right now, but as long as he's back under center, I think it'll be fun to watch.
And it would not shock me if he, as everyone has said, goes to Jacksonville next year and wins the Jaguars in their first Super Bowl with what that defense has, reuniting with Tom.
That's a good point.
It would not shock any of us. Lawrence Tynes, former Giant kicker, 2-time Super Bowl champ, the other LT, LT4 Kicks. Appreciate you coming on, man.
You got it, man. It's good talking to you.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, see ya.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online
at Whole Foods Market today.